And I had to ask, basically, who said that? What do they mean by that? That's my question. Does anyone know who says no labor on Sunday? Or? Pardon?
It's in the Ten Commandments.
Okay, that's where I thought it was coming from. Well, we'll have to go at it like that. That's how I wanted to understand. See, when you say no labor on Sunday, are you making a direct statement, or are you drawing that from something that is stated, you know, elsewhere, or something somebody said? Because there was no reference here. That's what I thought. No labor on Sunday. All right? Now, all right, the Ten Commandments are in Exodus 20, if you want to look there. No, I know. Yeah, I know, that's why it's hard. Does anyone know someone that says definitely no labor on Sunday that this would have been taken from? Or is this a, do you feel this is a reference to Exodus 20, where, you know, am I right to,
yeah. I asked the question.
Oh, okay.
I'm guilty. So
no, that's not to be guilty about, yeah.
That Sunday meant Sabbath
to me. So oh, okay. All right, that's what I wondered, if it wasn't taken from the Ten Commandments. I wanted to make sure I was going at it properly. That's how I took it. All right. You didn't ask me because I didn't know you had it.
Could have asked me later.
I just don't want to have somebody calling me a favor.
I don't like this question because I'm guilty. That's the day I work harder than any other day. But, all right, Exodus 20. Now, what you have here, Exodus 20, is God's declaring the Ten Commandments. And the one we're thinking about, where you get the day. Right, see, it didn't say Sabbath. And what I think is being expressed here is there's a very basic misconception or miscorrelation. When we hear Sabbath, we think Sunday. That's our day of worship. But is that what Sabbath means? See, that's what we need to understand. And what did it mean? All right, Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, right? In other words, we're to recognize the Sabbath, not forget it. We're to keep it holy, or we're to observe it in a special way. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, right? We're to restrict all our work to 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, right? Whose Sabbath is it? The Lord's, right? In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. In other words, no work for anybody, man or animal. Even your servants have to be given a day off, all right? And here's one reason. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Right? Because God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, because he ceased from his work on the seventh day, that was a day of no creative activity, that means that the Lord had blessed that day and hallowed it, or made it holy, or set it apart. Now, which day is the Sabbath day?
The seventh day.
What day is the seventh day of the week? That's the whole question that I have.
Is it by our calendar?
Saturday. Which, yeah, the Ten Commandments was written, verses 1 and 2. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he goes on, he states the Ten Commandments. In other words, the Ten Commandments were given to the Jews. That's right. And the seventh day was the day in which they could do no labor whatsoever. we'll see. But let's go back to Genesis to see where that reference was to God creating. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. See, this is one of the most confused questions in our day and age. And I'll tell you why. This question does not stop with, can I work on Sunday? This question goes further than that. It goes to, what is the place of the Ten Commandments in the New Testament church? And what place does the Sabbath have in the Ten Commandments? You know, and what's the relationship between Israel and the Old Testament and the New Testament and everything? What is your whole understanding and interpretation of the Bible? What is the relationship between Old and New, Israel and the church, Ten Commandments and the New Testament, the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments? This is, but all I want to look at today is the Sabbath itself, what it was. And in other words, one thing God referred back to was Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. Right? In other words, he had finished his work, and then he looked upon it, and his label for all he had done was very good. That's how he described it. And it says, the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Right? He'd done all his work by the end of the sixth day. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So again, that restricts the Sabbath to the... There is no reference to the word Sabbath here. The word rested is the root form from which the word Sabbath comes in the Hebrew. In other words, Sabbath is Shabbat in the Hebrew, and this word rested is the root word from which that word is taken, and the meaning of it means to cease. That's the whole meaning of the word Sabbath, to cease. And that means, when it says he rested, that doesn't mean God was tired and he had to, get his strength back, because God is omnipotent. He never runs out of power. His power never diminishes or changes. But it means he just didn't do any work on that seventh day at all in the way of creating. Of course, he was keeping his universe in operation, but he did not create. But notice it says it was God who rested that day. It wasn't man who rested that day, and he blessed it because he had rested from all his work. And the other thing is, God is not establishing a law here. He is not saying man must rest the seventh day, or man must worship the seventh day, or one day a week. See, that was not at all revealed until Exodus. In other words, ancient man did not have a law saying you must worship one day of the week or you must worship the seventh day of the week. It just says God himself rested and that made that day, set apart on that basis. And it wasn't until Israel that he gave man a law saying you must do likewise. And he gave that to Israel. But the thing you need to realize is that for 2,500 years, nothing is said about one day a week of worship or one day a week of rest. There's no rules or laws given. There's no reference to it. There's no examples of anybody acknowledging a seventh day. This is something that is just not mentioned at all in any way until Exodus chapter 16. That's where you need to go. This is the first time God makes known the Sabbath day, and he does it to Israel. So all I want to do is see what the Sabbath was and how they observed it, and then that'll tell us something today. All right, so the first thing you need to realize, the word Sabbath is not mentioned in Genesis, but the root form from which Sabbath is taken in the word rest, which means God ceased from his creative work on that day. And also he set apart the seventh day, which is Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week, and that's the day when God created the heavens and the earth, and there was no command given directly to man that they needed to worship one day a week or They needed to set the seventh day of the week apart for that purpose. So again, it was mentioned there as something God did. He rested or ceased, and then nothing's heard of it. And then in Exodus 16, as the people of Israel are coming out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, verse 22, God gives the manna. And the manna was a supernatural supply of food for the nation of Israel while they journeyed through the wilderness. And it's here that God first indicates that they were to have a special day called the Sabbath day. I guess we'll start at verse 22 and read to verse 30. And I guess we'll start here with Mark.
And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses.
And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seize that ye will
seize it.
And
that means boil, is that right?
And seize that which remaineth over, lay up for you to keep, to be kept until the morning.
Alright, so God gave them this manna. 6 days a week in the morning they would gather it. And they'd gather one omer per person, and that would be sufficient, and it would last them through the day, and it would continue good, but the next day it would spoil, and they couldn't use it. They had to gather it daily. They couldn't hoard it up and live off of that for a week. And what he said was, but the sixth day is something special. You're to gather twice as much, two omers, and one you are to keep, you know, lay aside, and it will not spoil. And then the seventh day, you can eat that, and that way you won't have to do any gathering, any preparation. As a matter of fact, he said, you are not even to leave your homes on the seventh day. In other words, on the Sabbath, they were to stay in their home, which, of course, you know, if we recognize that, we wouldn't be able to come to church on the Sabbath, on Sunday, if that's the same. But it's not exactly the same. You know, remember, he said, this is the first time he revealed the Sabbath. Where did he first mention it? In verse 23. Tomorrow, it was the sixth day, and he said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. And then they gathered twice as much, and it was preserved. And in verse 25 says, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. It won't be provided. It won't be in the field today. It says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Some people went out looking for it. It wasn't there, just like the Lord said. Then in verse 29, the Lord says, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That's why you are to gather twice as much on the sixth day and stay home the seventh day. So the people did finally rest on the seventh day. So here you have it first given, but then it was not, incorporated officially or permanently into their national life until chapter 20. And again, that's where he says, well, here God said, he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he identifies himself as the Lord their God, who has brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So So the Ten Commandments were given specifically to the Jews, and only to the Jews, in the sense of when, in the form of a covenant, or an agreement or engagement between God and his people. This was the basis of the covenant between God and Israel. And one of the laws of that, the Ten Commandments, was 6 days you will labor, do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath. In it you are not to do any work, and it was a memorial of God's having created the heaven and the earth, and, you know, in 6 days, and then resting the seventh. All right, so here, the Sabbath is given to Israel as one of the Ten Commandments, which was the basis of their covenant relationship with God. That's what you need to remember. The Ten Commandments is the covenant between God and his people Israel, and it established them as a nation, and it was like their charter or their constitution. And it was also a memorial of creation. And in Deuteronomy 5, Moses repeats the Ten Commandments as he rehearses the law a second time for the people, and we'll just read that to see what he brings out the second time it was given. But it's important to read verses 1 and 1 to 1 to 3, I guess. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, because here Moses makes a reference to the fact that this Ten Commandments is a covenant made with Israel in Horeb or Sinai, and it was not made previous to this with anyone else. Even their own fathers did not have the Ten Commandments, but they did. And, of course, now, don't misunderstand me. Worship is something that God requires of man, always. The only things particular about this is that it's worship in a special form on one day out of seven, and on a particular day, the seventh day, and they had to abstain from working that day. That's where it had a peculiar quality, but worship is a universal law that all men owe to God as his creatures, and that's something, you know, that carries over into the whole, all the human race. But verses 1 to 3 tell the nature of the Ten Commandments, what they were.
Moses called unto all of Israel, said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and observe to do them.
The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day.
All right, then he tells how the Lord met with them face to face in Mount Sinai, and then how he spoke the covenant to them. So that's all I'm trying to bring out. It's a covenant between God and Israel, and part of it, which down in verse 12 to 15, again emphasizes, and this tells the reason why Israel was to keep the seventh day.
Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee.
Each day you shall labor in all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. That the manservant and the maidservant may rest as well as thou.
Yeah, verse 15 also, please.
And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day.
Right. So here God's saying, I command you to keep the Sabbath, and here's why I command you to keep the Sabbath. That you may remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with his power. And again, that was why Israel had to keep the seventh day, as a remembrance of their deliverance from the nation of Egypt, where they were slaves. But that tells you why they were given that special command about the seventh day. In other words, is the seventh day something that we need to obey today? Should I not work on Saturday and worship the Lord on Saturday? There are people who tell you that. The Seventh-day Adventists will tell you that. There are other groups that believe in seventh-day worship. Why don't I do that? You know, that's what I'm trying to bring out. It was a special command as an inherent part of this covenant, and it had a direct reference to Israel, and, you know, it had a historical significance. And, you know, and let's see. Again, it was the covenant between God and Israel that designated them as a nation, a special, peculiar people called out by God from Egypt to himself. And the thing I want you to remember, too, Psalm 147 says, this is something, you got to be careful here. Most of the Ten Commandments are moral. Everybody is bound to God's moral requirements. All right? A moral requirement, it means it's something that is inherent in the nature of God and that is an absolute duty upon all men. A moral law, like lying. Can I lie because I'm not part of the nation of Israel? No. Can I commit adultery because I'm not a part of the nation of Israel? No. But see, the seventh day was more of a ceremonial aspect or a ritualistic observance. It was not an inherent moral law. If the seventh day was an inherent moral law, then you and I are very guilty of breaking God's law by not worshiping on the seventh day. In other words, it was a specific regulation given to Israel that did not have a universal binding quality to it. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Otherwise, well, we'll go through what was required of them on the Sabbath. One already was you couldn't leave your home. And again, if we leave home on Saturday, if that's an absolute universal law binding on all men, then to leave home on Saturday makes us sinners. See? That's what I'm trying to get at. Much of the Ten Commandments, nobody ever better break or they're going to be held responsible for it. But the Sabbath, we're going to find out, was a special sign between God and Israel that only they were bound to. And Psalm 147, 19 and 20 says how God did deal in a special way with Israel that he didn't deal with everybody. Verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 147. So no other nation was the recipient of God's law. And that's what distinguished Israel from the nations. That's what made them a peculiar, separate people. As a matter of fact, when God gave his law, he said, the nations are going to say, what nation is so great as this that has God so near to them and has so many great laws and ordinances and judgments? You know, that's what made Israel special. And again, the Ten Commandments were the basis of God's relationship with them as a covenant people. That's what we ought to see too. Deuteronomy 4. In other words, am I in covenant with God through the old covenant? Is that what establishes my relationship with God? As it did with Israel? That's the whole question. You understand what I'm saying? Am I related to God on the basis of the old covenant that made Israel related to God as his earthly people, you know, as a nation? Pardon? Right, Christ brought a change. We're under the new covenant. But see, that's what you have to understand. In what of the old covenant am I, held to, and what of the old covenant am I not held to? Remember, there were 613 laws in the Mosaic covenant, or not just the Ten Commandments, there were 613 commandments. Am I supposed to keep all those too, you see? You know, which ones do I keep? What is my relationship to the law? You know, and remember, the law was a unit. If you had to keep one, you had to keep them all. You couldn't pick and choose. But see, what we need to realize is the New Testament interprets the Old Testament and tells us what in the Old Testament is binding today. And in the New Testament, every one of the Ten Commandments is repeated except the fourth one. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, the fourth one is said to be no longer in effect. And we'll see why that is. But Deuteronomy 4 tells that the Ten Commandments were the covenant of God with the nation of Israel. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy 4, it says how God appeared to them in the mount. He gathered the people together to hear his words. It says he came near, or they came near and stood under the mountain that burned with fire and had darkness and clouds and thick darkness upon it. It says, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. Now what was his covenant that Israel had to perform? Even Ten Commandments. He wrote them upon two tables of stone. Right, so the covenant was what brought Israel into existence, and it also was the basis of their relationship with God. And it consisted of the Ten Commandments. And so they were written on two tables of stone. And chapter 9 says the same thing, basically. In verse 9, Moses said, I went up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant, right? In other words, the Ten Commandments is a covenant which the Lord made with you. Who's you? Israel. He says he stayed in the mount 40 days. The Lord delivered to me two tables of stone written with the finger of God, according to all the words which the Lord spoke with you in the mount. Or as the very words God spoke of what were written down, he spoke the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tables of stone, even what? The tables of the covenant. All right, the Ten Commandments were the covenant of God with his people, Israel. And one more verse, Exodus 34. I gotta keep my. Is this watch right? I've got the time mixed up somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 2 minutes to go.
Okay, well, we'll close here. Exodus 34. Now, remember what God says, that the law was given as a expression of God's holy character, and it was also given as his requirement for man as far as our righteous behavior, and by the law is the knowledge of sin, and no flesh can be justified by keeping the law of Moses. And it says that by the law every mouth is stopped and all the world becomes guilty before God, because we're all lawbreakers, we're all sinners. But the question is, what about the Sabbath? If I don't worship on the seventh day, am I a lawbreaker? Or did the Sabbath have a peculiar reference to Israel, which I'm not going to get to today, but I say, yes, it did. It was a sign between God and Israel, and it had a significance to them, which it does not have to us. But let's see, verse 27 and 28. The Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. All right, God says, I want you to write the words according to which I have made a covenant with Israel. That was the covenant he made with Israel. What words is he talking of? And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant. What were the words of the covenant? The Ten Commandments. All right, here was the covenant between God and Israel that constituted them a special nation and that determined their relationship with God. And so they were bound to that covenant. And again, the Ten Commandments were the content of the covenant. And when Moses made the Ark, remember what it was called? The Ark of the Covenant, because in it were placed the two tables of stone. Now, what I want you to think about next week was, is the Sabbath a binding law that has universal significance and is always in effect, or is it a special sign to Israel that was done away with by Christ and no longer has any bearing on our lives as Christians? And what is my relationship to the Ten Commandments? Am I under the law in the same sense as the Israelites were? Or am I under a new covenant that, incorporates them in some way but is not identical? That's the whole question, see? Because if we're under the Ten Commandments, we need to keep the Sabbath. If we're not, we need to realize why and what the difference is and what Christ has accomplished by his death and resurrection and what that means to us today in the New Testament. And remember, the law was the Old Covenant or the Mosaic Covenant. So that'll help us keep clear. The New Covenant is the covenant, through Jesus Christ, sealed in his blood. Well, we'll close there then. Think hard, because this is a...
My daughter, she is fantastic too. They're both of them mad. They are beasts. It was a clever plan he had to build this wall and to pretend to Jews. Just think, if they knew that we wanted to win.
Oh, prearranged marriage.
They'd rather be dead. Children! Daughters! Fantastic! Beasts! How clever we are!
I guess must get their own way. The minute that you say no, wine is the cheese for jam on the cat, raspberry jam all over the cat. Why should the kids do something like that when all that we said was no? My son was once afraid to swim the water taken away. Until I said he mustn't swim, then swim in Adler's hands. Then swim in Adler's hands. Oh. Dog's got to bark, dog mule's got to bray. Soldiers must fight, and preachers must fight. And children, I guess, must get their own way. The minute that boots say no. Why did the kids put beans in their ears? No one can hear with beans in their ears. After a while, the reason appears. They did it 'cause we said no.
You're not a greasy young man, he says, would you like him hot? You tell her he's a fool, and then you've got a son-in-law.
You got a son.
Kidnap your daughter, My son runs in to save her. Ben, I'm dead.
I allow the boys to defeat me.
My son becomes a hero. And the feud is over. Forever.
Oh! How much for such a drum?
That's in your demand.
On what?
What else? The quality of the rate.
The what?
Forgive me, the attempted rate. Now I know you prefer abduction, but the proper word is this. It's short and businesslike.
I heard it speak of saving women.
Well, that doesn't sound right to me.
It is, though, I assure you. A matter of fact, it's standard. The lovers meet in secret, and so forth. They're interrupted by a group of villains, and so forth. The boy fights off bandits, Indians, pirates, so forth. Poetry land, happy ending. All of it quite standard.
What about the cost?
Cost goes by cut. In your case, I would recommend first class.
You mean we get a choice?
Of course, with regular union rates.
Thank you.
big affair or intimate. We thought, just the children. I mean afterwards, at the party.
Too expensive, just the immediate family.
Perhaps gathering on the lawn.
Just the immediate family would be enough.
As you wish. The orchestra can go home. Still, big affairs are nice.
Perhaps some other time.
All right, then. You better go home and rehearse your part. I need actors, extra actors, to stage my elaborate ring. But I'm not worried. Something will turn up. I can sense it in the air. There. See? What did I know?
It's torn. I know. Forget it. It vanishes.